The 400th anniversary of the publication of the King James Bible is being celebrated throughout the year in churches and cathedrals, but also as a specifically cultural landmark in books, radio and television programmes, and on stage. Theatres are responding with particular enthusiasm. Theatre Voice has already spoken to David Edgar, whose play Written on the Heart will be presented by the RSC in the autumn, and to Howard Brenton, whose Anne Boleyn includes both Tyndale's banned book, a copy of which was owned by Anne, and James I's commissioning of a compromised translation. Anne Boleyn was such a hit at the Globe last year that it will return later this season. Still to come elsewhere is a response by 21st century writers to the KJB at the Bush Theatre and readings at the National Theatre in the autumn. But the Globe has attempted the most daring feat of all, to present the whole Bible on stage in a series of readings, 69 hours worth in all, culminating in the New Testament over the Easter weekend. My name is Heather Neal, and I'm at the Globe with Jacqueline Somerville, the director of this ambitious enterprise. Well, we're at the Globe, so perhaps we should start with Shakespeare. And I was saying before we started that it's a misapprehension that Shakespeare's plays are full of references to the KJB. He would have known Tyndale's Bible and probably the Geneva Bible, which was the Calvinist one, which came out of Europe and was available in Britain before the King James Bible. But you had some other ideas about possibly there could be direct influence as well.
Well, I just remember having a conversation with Giles Block, who does all the text work here, and him saying, well, it's believed that Shakespeare actually was a huge influence on the Bible or in some way helped it. And I quite like the idea of that. I know that there have been books written about the sort of biblical references throughout Shakespeare, throughout Shakespeare's text. And I just love the idea, and I think Dominic was the one that cited it, that all the clerics from over the road and St. Paul's would come over to watch the plays whilst all the Shakespeare and his contemporaries would wander over there and just sit in the back of the churches and listen to the drama that would go on.
Yes, because we have to remember that sermons were entertainment, weren't they,
Absolutely.
But, well, I was saying that but playwrights were fairly sort of humble people, although, of course, the king's men were playing for the king, so maybe this was a different category. But and I know there are some people who cite Psalm 46, is it, which has got the words
shake and spear. They believe that, in fact, I had a chap who came to audition, and at the audition he actually told me about that, and I didn't realise. He said, oh, yes, Shakespeare's Psalm. So if you count in so many words, you get shake, and then if you count from the end so many words, you get spear.
I think it's 46 in both cases,
it's
the 46th Psalm, and he would have been 46.
So,
it's... But anyway, whether he was or not, and the fact is that Tyndale had a great influence on the King James Bible, and Shakespeare would have had access to that. So
definitely, and yeah. I think the key is that Elizabethans came to the theatre to hear a play.
Yes.
Unlike us, when we look at so many visual feasts and it's become very much a designer's theatre, here is the heard word, and it's just wonderful that that's all we're asking, is to come and have a listen to what is possibly one of the greatest books ever written.
Well, we might as well mention at this point that Globe Education has a whole series of events called The Heard Word, Pulpit versus Playhouse, drawing on this idea. But to go back to you and how you started this enormous enterprise, it must have been amazing when you realised. When did you realise that it was 69 hours? Who worked that out for a start?
Well, there's 66 books, and I think Dominic was very keen to make it happen over Easter. And we're just looking at the logistics of how long it would take. So we worked out how many minutes things would be, and originally we were going to do it in 50-minute chunks, and we actually decided that maybe, well, I decided, because I thought Axis can't do 50-minute chunks, not at the medium that we're using, which I'll talk about in a minute. So we decided that we'd just do it in chapters. So we had 20 actors, five teams of four actors. They all do Genesis together, they all do Revelations together, and then they split up doing various books. Obviously, when you get to the Psalms, there's 150 of them, so we split that into two different groups. I tried to do something different with Chronicles 1, all the huge lists, and I've done something different with Proverbs. But for the rest of the time, I mean, that's not really answering your question, is it? But it's going on to something different there. But
yes, that's all right.
But I think in terms of the time, that we knew there is a huge time constraint. And I think it's if anyone could see the spreadsheets that we have, which have exactly how long each chapter of the Bible takes, and when you consider that I don't know how many thousands of chapters there are, but there's 66 books, and you know the most that there are is 150 in one particular in Psalms, that I could tell you how many minutes each one will take. And we had to say, well, we've only got these 69 hours with which to tell this, you know, we had to sort of divide the time up between each of the books to work out how long it would take.
Is you can't do what you would do with an ordinary production, say we need to lose 20 minutes and sort of cut some bits. You can't do that.
No, but we have had a few moments where we were running over, and what I've had to do is shave off seconds off of everybody's. So, but what's been exciting is we're using a method called recorded delivery. And so therefore, you know, we know exactly how many minutes they've recorded themselves speaking. So I could talk to you a bit about that.
Yes, do talk about this, because when you watch the performance, an actor comes on and speaks, and no one's holding a book. So.
That's right. I think we were both very keen not to have it as a dry reading. So we wanted something which would be immediate, which would be in the moment, which would be engaging. Because, you know, I mean, I think this particular King James Bible was actually written to be heard and to be spoken aloud. And I think it's born out of a society with which there was a lot of illiteracy there. And so therefore it had to somehow sort of get embedded in the minds of the listener. And I think when you see how vivid the language is, you can see why that is. And the repetitions, the constant repetitions of things, just because no one could write it down, they had to keep hearing it over and over again. So in order to make that give it that immediacy, we decided Dominic had seen
this is Dominic Drongoole, the artistic director.
Yes, had seen a production of Come Out Eli, I think, which Alecki Blythe had been working on, which used a recorded technique called recorded delivery, and we said, well, why don't they record them? And I thought that would be a great idea. I looked into it, and in fact, I looked on Theatre Voice for, I know Alecki had done an interview when she was doing her Girlfriend Experience production at the Young Vic, and I looked into Anna Devere Smith, Mark Wing Davey, various people who had used this technique, and I think they'd used it in the rehearsal room, and then I think Alecki had taken that onto the stage, but it was in effect other people's voices, and the actors were physically embodying those. So I thought, what about if we use this, and the actors record their best performance, they hear that in their ear, and they perform that, because I think it's too much. We've only had 2 weeks rehearsal. So they haven't got time to learn it. And considering that each one of them is doing at least 3 hours on stage, you know, they have had to do those. So I've had to work out a structure of rehearsal where they come in. I've got 5 assistant directors that I've been working with who sit in a rehearsal room. They go in and they go through all of their chapters for accuracy and timing and sense, and we've got a wonderful voice person who's been working on pronunciations, which have been absolutely key, because obviously there's a lot of places, names, etc., that they've had to get their lips and their teeth and their tongue around, and it's been working. I mean, we've done one day, and we came in 3 minutes under time, and I'm very pleased about that. But I just think everybody who came to see it was mesmerised how engaging it was, how it was palpable, and it was easy to listen to. It didn't matter what your faith or your beliefs were. It was as an event, a theatrical event. It was electric.
And it's very much a Globe thing, isn't it? Because we're used at the Globe to that sort of informal atmosphere where people come in and can move about, and generally without disturbing other people. But yesterday when I was here, there were sometimes groups of 60 who would come in and only stay for 10 minutes because they were there to look at the theatre with a tour. And they didn't seem to disrupt things at all.
No, I think so. But also I think a lot of the actors have worked here before and are very aware of, you know, when you do a technical rehearsal going on now for all as well, and that you're always constantly having groups coming through during the day and they get used to that. But what was wonderful about yesterday was that when the groups were coming through, we were having fantastic feedback, and also they were staying, they were coming back in and watching more.
Oh.
And there were in fact three people left at the end of the day, which was midnight, who'd come on one of the last tours, so that was very exciting. They'd gone off and gone and had some supper, but come back again. And I think that's the kind of feel we want with it, is that people can just dip in, listen to a book or a chapter, three chapters, come back and come and go.
Yes, we should say that it's divided up into sessions, and within your £10 session you can come and go, and that's many hours you get for £10.
Absolutely, and there's 12 sessions altogether, and I think we're doing a block of all 12 sessions were £90, but absolutely, it's only £10. And when you consider you are actually buying, what in effect, 6 hours of theatre, but you for £10, I think that's quite reasonable, really.
Yeah.
And so, but obviously, you won't be there for that length of time.
Yeah.
We don't expect anyone to. But I did. I sat through 13 hours out of the 14 yesterday. So.
How did you choose the actors? Were they some of them, as you say, have been here before, and one or two will be, will they be here later this season?
Well, I having read the Bible and gone through it, I realised that I needed certain types to fulfil certain areas. I wanted to have I knew I was possibly going to have more men than I was women. So, but actually, we have 9 women and 11 men. And I wanted to get a varying of ages, so we have that, cultural differences as well within the mix. And I'm really pleased to say that they all have most incredible voices. That was first and foremost. Also, it being able to work in the space, and because I think there's something quite unique about this space. And everybody, I would say largely 65% of them have worked here before. But I do a lot of work in drama schools. At the moment, I'm deputy head of acting at Mountview Theatre School, and I'm just very keen on the craft of acting, and I've often gone and worked in other drama schools. So I actually have three, I think there's 4 other people in the group who I've worked with at Rose Bruford at some point, at Manchester, at Birmingham, and RADA, which was great. So they're all come together to work in one show, which is lovely. So that's how we recruited them.
So once they get onto the stage, they one actor takes over from another. As one is leaving, another comes in with the next session. Did you direct them much about how much to move and so on? How much is left to them?
Well, actually, it's been what I said was we did a one-day workshop where they had to learn the technique of how to use their machines. We found iPhones were the best. Actually, advocate for sales of them. I'm not getting any money from them to say that, but they were. Somehow it was something in the actual microphone. It sort of cancelled out any extraneous noise, and it was, you could really hear that in the better. And so we did this one day where they had to get to familiarise themselves with the machines. But you've got 3 entrances on the stage, and I've put the middle entrance as 1 and 4. Actor 1 and 4 come through those entrance. On the side, on 2 and 3, actor 2 comes out this entrance. They go off another entrance. They always go off the entrance that the next person's about to come out of, just in case there's any issue with them not hearing that they've finished their chapter, etc., etc. So you don't have to have cue lights or anything like that. So I've all worked with all of them at some point on the stage to work out where they can go to, where they can't move, you know, where it's best to keep this one. With certain sections, I've taken time with Chronicles to do what's quite exciting, because there are a lot of names. There are a huge, you know. So I've done something which I think is quite exciting in terms of not just listening, looking at it, because it's wonderful just listening. It's mesmerising, listening to a list of names. How I never thought it would be, but it is. And we're doing a cacophony of sound with that, with some music underneath. And so I've created, I could do a bit more with that, actually. Well, it's needed more. But really, I've had to, I love actors, and I love what they can do, and I love creating a space with which they can create. And in effect, I've had to do that. And I've worked hard with the assistants in saying, you know, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to achieve. You need to let them know that this is where they come on from, this is where they go off, this is, and we have a very, the stage management team here is huge. You know, all actors have at least 2 people between them, sort of thing, backstage. And we have Vicky and Becky, who are our 2 stage managers. I couldn't have done it without them. They are just phenomenal. And And I suppose they just pushed them on, basically, backstage.
Well, yes, because they don't have much time off, do they, between their little sessions. Well, some of them are quite long, up to 8 minutes.
It's probably the most is up to 8 minutes that they have off. But it's just enough time to just sort of compose yourself, get ready for the next chapter. Yeah. And they're in team of four, so there's a feeling of camaraderie. So I don't know whether you stayed until the end of one section, which was lovely when they all bowed at the end of that section. So that was really nice, actually.
It's rather nice because it's a little bit like the actual translation when they were in teams and then they all came together.
Well, this is my idea behind it. I mean, I got the sense that there were lots of different voices that had written this book, and I just thought we need to populate the story with those voices. Mm. And I think having listened to all of it yesterday, you know, it's just wonderful. And I mean, there's Keith Bartlett, who was doing the whole section on the leprosy, got out his magnifying glass, and you know, there's little props and little moments. And I think it was one of the stewards that came up to me and said, "I never thought the Old Testament could be so funny," you know. So it was lovely, and I think there's a tremendous amount of humour there. And sometimes maybe it's a humour of us thinking now, "Gosh, that's so archaic, those ideas," or "Wow, that's amazing." You know,
Well, I was thinking that you think when you get a mention of a midwife, you think, now are we really in the biblical era, or are we talking about Elizabethan Stuart sort of midwives? I think it's probably closer to that.
Yes, exactly. I think there's a reinvention, isn't it? It's sort of kind of, you never forget why this book was written, you know, is to try and...
Well, one of the things that they were trying to do was to give it one voice, as it were, although it came from so many different sources and originally was written by a number of different people. But there are very definite differences, nevertheless, aren't there?
So. Absolutely, and there's, you know, the further you get through it and coming into the New Testament, I mean, I think John is one of the most beautifully written pieces of work, and I really like Daniel, and I'm quite hooked on Ecclesiastes. You know, some of the morals and some of the issues in it are so relevant
today. A time to live and a time to die.
Yes.
It sounds as if you knew your Bible very well. Did you? Was this the first time you'd read it all through? Because it's an enormous undertaking.
It was the first time I'd read it through, actually. I dipped into it when I was really young, but I was never strict. I was never sent because I had to go or anything. But no, I thought, okay, I'm going to tackle this. So, I mean, I must say I skipped over some sections. I have to say that, you know, I did. Yeah. But for when it got to the story, when it got to the meat of it,
One thing that struck me was how a story can actually be repeated. You think, he said that before. But actually, of course, it's being said again, but slightly differently, maybe 10 minutes later.
I know. It was such a shame there was only a few of us left at the end of the day yesterday, because we got to Deuteronomy and some of the judgments. And they were quite shocking about... You know, mothers being expected to eat their children, and it's just, you know, I think a lot of us were laughing because of jaw-dropping moments, but spectacular, you know. Because there's a lot of myth, isn't there? You talks about dragon's blood and wizards, and you know, it's all in there. It's like just a little bit of Harry Potter that comes out now and again, you know.
Well, yes, and you're going to have to end with Revelation, of course, because you're not changing the order of things. So you're going to have the wonderful Easter sensation over the Easter weekend, but then we go into all Paul's letters and then Revelation.
I know, I'm quite excited about Revelation.
It's sort of modern in a way.
It is, and, you know, a lot of the actors are still recording, obviously, because we've done up until, I think, Wednesday evening. But we've still got the rest of it to record and finish.
Oh, yes, tell us about that. Are they all doing their recordings in your presence? I mean, they don't go off and record their own bits, do they?
No, we all met on the 4th of April. I said, these are the chapters you're going to do. This is your equipment. And they all went off. These are the things you need to think about. These are the pronunciations. If you need anything, call me. I think I had about 108 calls in about 2 days. but they have been so self-sufficient. And they've all had various meltdowns along the way of, oh my God, I can't do this. Because, you know, for some of them, we're asking them to use a technique which they've never done before. Yeah. And I think for some of them, it's been very difficult, liberating.
It sounds difficult, though. You're hearing your own voice, and then you speak what you have just heard yourself say an instant later.
That's right, yes. I mean, and And I think you have to keep as close as you can to your own voice. And there was a speed necessity to try and get it into certain timings. And, you know, I sent around an email recently saying, oh, for those of you who can try and get it even closer to, you know, because we're running over slightly. And they have. And the thing is, that's what makes it engaging, because it's quite fast and it's sort of, but it travels. They still give themselves time to breathe. But I think it's engaging. There's not anyone who's sort of taking an armchair on that and just spending ages colouring something, which I get quite bored with something. I just think, you know, tell the story. And doing exactly what Shakespeare would hope.
Well, it's, yes,
hitting on the line.
It's clear that it was written to be spoken aloud and in really quite simple language. It's not really difficult to understand, is it, on the whole?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I think there's some words that go over people's heads, but I think that's
change of time.
But. Yes, exactly, and I think, but no, it's. I think, and that's why, you know, if you have got a society that's illiterate, you're not going to want them to hear something that they're not is going to be inaccessible. Mm. I think it's incredibly accessible to listen to, and just the stories are so wonderful. You know, Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yes. You know, yesterday Jacob's Ladder. You know, and. Yeah. Cain and Abel and all the Abraham
and
stories.
All the Moses stories.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, I'm hoping to be here for the Song of Solomon, which is one of my favourite bits, which is wonderful poetry, of course, because it isn't all poetry. Some of it's very down to earth and ordinary, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I remember when I first came across Song of Solomon, I thought, this is in from the Bible, because it's so sensual and quite saucy in places, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and I put some music underneath it and got some wonderful Golder and Rochevelle and Nick Beveny are two key actors who are doing that section. I think it'll be...
So you'll have a man's voice and a woman's voice?
Yes, very good, yeah. But well, it's from... It was a woman, you know, I am Sharon,
yes,
the Rose of Sharon, la, 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 la.
But... tell us a bit more about the music, because you have some percussion on stage, but you don't have music all the time, do you?
Well, no, because I think, you know, with Musicians Union and all that, 4-hour rule, and I think, I mean, it would have been great to have had it underscored, but really the heard word. I just wanted to have pockets of moments where it was somehow supported by music, and I thought it'd be great to start the beginning and also have the ending, and then Dominic agreed to let us have a few other sections, so I decided to put it under Samuel and Kings, and we're going to have it underneath Song of Solomon's into Isaiah, Brimstone and Fire section. But I avoided the Psalms, actually, because I think, I mean, the Psalms can be sung, and they usually are. Yeah. But when we tried putting music with it, and it kind of, I mean, they're beautiful pieces of writing in themselves, and I just felt that the music just, it was too much. It was gilding the lily, as it were.
Yes. You're not having thunderclaps for Revelation.
No. No, not at all.
Again, it doesn't need it. You're right.
It doesn't need
word.
It at all. It's absolutely not. And the particular group who finish Revelation, because they all finish Revelations, I've picked... they'll be wonderful. Because their voices are great, and because I think some people are very some of the actors are very gentle. It's very story-like. Some of them are very classy and sophisticated. And so there's lots of different.
Yes, yesterday I noticed a difference in style. Some of them were giving you a reading, as it were. Some were much more dramatic, and some were playing with the words more. I mean, you obviously have allowed them to have their own head, as it were.
But also, I think. Those particular sections they were looking at lend themselves to that. So, you know.
Yes. I can't believe you only had 2 weeks rehearsal. That's terrible.
But in a way it's good, because I think that that's what's making it so fresh and alive. And, you know, I love it when an actor is in the moment, but it doesn't always happen that way. Mm. And they're being forced to be, because I know it's like a wave of words that comes through their ear that they have to surf to the end. Mm. And they finally finish and they come off stage. It's like, oh my God, what's happened? But I think they're getting the buzz of it now. They have to surrender to the words. I mean, I mean, I don't know whether you ever tried it, but it is quite difficult.
No, it sounds very difficult. Did it take them a long time to learn?
No, not at all, really. I think some of them picked it up incredibly quickly, and others of them have suffered and have a few meltdowns. Why are we doing it like this? Why can't we just read it? But and then have come out the other side and realised joyous. Yeah. From the response that they're getting from the reader or from the listener, how enjoyable that is.
Yes, literally audience, as in every sense.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Well, I think we should say good luck with the rest of it. So thank you very much. Now, it's going to fall that you have the Easter story, Good Friday to... Well, you're not here on the Saturday, is that right?
That's right. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are all happening on Sunday. Which is great. And then on Easter Sunday, we go right up until the end of... and finish Revelations about 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's Monday, isn't it?
That's on Monday, Monday. But on Good Friday, it's a wonderful day, you know, full of so many different stories and things, so they'll be in for a treat on that day.
Yeah.
I think we start with Proverbs and finish with Lamentations. I can't remember what we finished, Corinthians or something, Acts and things.
Yes. Have you all found that you've been sort of coming across quotes, as it were, you sort of think, oh,
my
didn't
God,
know
yeah,
that was in there.
Of the earth, you know, it's many, many things. I was picking out some the other day, you know. There's just so many, aren't there? Like giving up the ghost, through a glass darkly, the skin of my teeth, the man after his own heart, fight the good fight. They're all ping out at you. And because I was talking to someone the other day about Shakespeare quotes and how, you know, I always say to if I'm doing a Shakespeare workshop, I always say, you know, give me a Shakespeare. And lots of people can say, be or not to be, or Romeo, and then you start saying, well, these are Bible quotes, and people are like, oh, that came from the Bible, you know. So it's quite...
Well, it is wonderful to listen to, and you look as if you're enjoying it. So thank you very much, Jacqueline.
Pleasure.